Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for how you have helped us. Thank you for your power that is working in us. Thank you, Lord, for your visitations and interventions. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for your light that is shining on our hearts and minds and souls. Thank you, Father. Thank you for destroying the works of the enemy that were against us. Thank you for enforcing your will and desires to happen to us. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for confusing the enemy. And thank you for turning themselves against themselves. Thank you, Father. Thank you for breakthroughs you have given to us on every side. We thank you for how you have helped us to grow spiritually in knowing you, in knowing your ways, knowing your mind, knowing your will, knowing your word. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to develop a strong discerning spirit. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, I ask that as we would be having another teaching class right now, let our understanding be enlightened. Let more revelations of who you are and of your ways be exposed to us. Let more revelations of the standards of your kingdom be exposed to us. Let more revelations about our callings and destinies and purposes on earth be exposed to us. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And we are going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. We stopped at point number 5, which is the senses of your body and soul naturally opposes and denies the senses of your spirit. The senses of your body and soul naturally opposes and denies the senses of your spirit. And I stopped at Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and verse 8. So now I'm going to read Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. Acts Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 6 and verse 7. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia, yeah, I think that's how it's pronounced. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Yeah, I want you to take note of number one, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. That one is in verse 6 of Acts 16. Then verse 7 it says, but the Spirit suffered them not. Yeah, I'm just trying to show you from the scriptures how the senses of our bodies and souls is directly against the senses of our spirit. Yeah, because the apostles, or maybe I should say Apostle Paul and the missionaries that were with him, they were trying to enter Asia and preach the gospel, but the Holy Ghost forbade them. The Holy Ghost stopped them from preaching the word in Asia. And not only that, they were going to Bithynia to preach, but the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Jesus, stopped them from going to that place to preach. Now, you need to understand that even your good intentions might not be the will of God. Even your good intentions, I mean, the things you propose in your heart to do that are very good, even that good intention might not be the will of God. Yeah, because there's nothing wrong in taking the gospel of Jesus to places where they don't have that gospel. They don't know God. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong in going to places, communities, where they do not know the truth about God and Jesus Christ and God's kingdom, and preach and teach them the truth so that they can be saved. Surely there is nothing wrong with doing that. But sometimes, as good as that is, it might not be the will of God. So that was the practical example of what happened in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. So they had the good intention to preach to the people in Asia and Bithynia, but the Spirit of God will not allow them to preach. Yeah, so this is why we must wake up the senses of our spirits so that we'll be able to know even when our good intentions is not to be followed. Yeah. As good as, you know, as good as helping people is, sometimes you should not help people. Even though the Bible already told us to help people. Even though the Bible already teaches that we should help the poor, feed those that are hungry, clothe those that are naked, visit those that are in prison. As good as those good works are, there are times that you should not do them. Or there are some people you should not help. So this is why you must be sensitive to know what the Spirit is saying. Yeah, you must be sensitive. There are many things that I have seen in many ministries and churches, and I felt like, why can't I also do this thing? Why can't I bring that practice into my own ministry? Since it's good, is working for those churches, why can't I also do the same? Since there's nothing bad in it. It's scriptural, is a good thing. Yeah, but the Spirit will not allow me, yeah, to do those things. Even though they are good, it will help people. It will help people to grow spiritually. It will help people to get to know God more. It will help save souls, heal the sick, deliver the oppressed, and all of that. But yet the Spirit will not allow me to do those things, despite the fact that they are good works. Yeah, so this is why we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit always. And don't just assume that the good thing you want to do is the will of God. Don't just assume that the good thing in your mind is according to the will of God. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Now, we have some people who, having ignored the leading of the Holy Spirit, have spent years roaming about in a circle without moving forward in their lives. Because they felt what they are doing is good and is biblical, is scriptural. Yeah. So they felt what they are doing is what they should be doing. They fail to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And now they have been doing that same thing for more than 15 years. And they are not seeing results. They are not moving forward. Yeah, and they, you know, some of them became frustrated. Like, is it that God did not... is it that I was not called by God? Or is it that I'm not supposed to do this career or do this business? They became because they did not listen to the leading of the Spirit. They felt since what they are doing is not a sin, so they felt it's just right to do it at that time. And because of that, they were limited in their lives and destinies. Now, my prayer is that you will not be limited in your calling and destiny in Jesus' name. Yeah, so make sure that you are led by the Holy Spirit. Make sure that your spiritual senses are awakened. Yeah. So let's look at another scripture. In Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17. Galatians 5:17. I'm reading from New Living Translation. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Yeah. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Now, when I was studying that verse, my eyes was drawn to that place where it says these two forces are constantly fighting each other. Yeah, that part of that verse got my attention. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. The forces of your sinful nature and the forces of the Spirit. They are constantly fighting each other. So, and as I was looking at that part of the verse, I began to understand that in every second, not even minute, these two forces are constantly fighting each other. So there is not a time that these two forces agree with each other. The forces of your flesh, your sinful nature, and the forces or the force of your spirit. The force of your divine nature. What your spirit wants, or what the Spirit of God in you wants, is always against what your sinful nature wants. Yeah, so we are, or maybe I should say, we have been called into battle as Christians. We have been called to fight not some few hours, I mean, not for some few hours in a day. We have been called to fight a battle that is always ongoing. We have been called to fight a darkness that is always present. Yeah, is always present. And as a matter of fact, that darkness is inside us. The darkness is the force of our sinful nature. The force the energy, the spirit of our sinful nature. Yeah, so every second we must fight this battle. And the more victorious you are in this warfare that is going on within your soul and body, the more of God you will see, the more of God's kingdom you will know. Yeah, the more of God's light you will see, the more of God's glory you will know. So this is an ongoing battle, and you must fight if you will please God. Yeah, remember that it said you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Yeah. So, and the good intentions here implies those things that you know are good as revealed by the Spirit of God. Yeah. Those things that you know is the will of God to do, and you really want to do those things. The Bible says that you are not free to do those good intentions because there is a force inside of you that don't want you to do them. Yeah, so to do good, you must fight the sinful nature if you are going to do good. Some people think a God will create a circumstance or a situation that will make them do good. They are waiting for God to create one convenient circumstance or one convenient situation that will push them to do good. Well, sometimes God might do that, but if you're always waiting for that, you will never be able to do good. Yeah, because if your motivation to do good is coming from the your outside environment, you're waiting to see some signs, some signals, before you can do what you know is the right thing to do according to the scriptures and according to the Holy Spirit's directions. You know that it is good for me to do this, but you are waiting for some signs to come from the outside or some signals. You will never be able to do good if you are waiting for some motivation to come from the outside. You will not be able to do good. Yeah, why? Because there is a force in you that don't want you to do good. Yeah, and that force is not going to retire. That force is always present. Is there in the morning? Is there in the afternoon? Is there in the night? That force is there. In the midnight, every hour, every minute, every second, that force is there. So if you are looking for some kind of motivation to come from the outside before you can do what God wants you to do, you might wait for years and not get any motivation. And even if you get the motivation, the force might still not let you do it. Yeah, so the best thing is to fight your way through. Yeah, fight your way through and do what the Lord wants you to do. Yeah, I was speaking to some of our brethren in one of our fellowship meetings. I told them, I said, until you fight your way through in your soul and deliberately give to God, that you might never be able to give to God. Yeah. Until you come to the point where you make up your mind and you decide that I'm going to give to God. And I don't care what anybody says. Yeah. You might never be able to give to God. So it has to be a battle you have won in your mind, in your soul, before you'll be able to do it correctly, and before you'll be able to be doing it persistently, if I can use that word. But if you are waiting for maybe the man of God to announce that we need some amount of money in the ministry, then it's okay, now this is the time God wants me to give, because now the man of God have announced. Or you are waiting for some sign, some signals to appear in your environment, or you are waiting to get one dream or vision before you will now give to God, then you might never be able to give. Yeah, and I was telling them that if you happen to be in a ministry that they don't have, they don't talk about giving all the time, then you will be in trouble, because it means you will hardly give, and all the blessing that is connected to giving will not locate your life. Yeah, so we must fight the force of the sinful nature. We must fight it and win. Yeah, you must fight it yourself. No one else will help you fight it. It is your battle. Yeah, you must fight it and win. And that is when you will be free to do good. Yeah, because the nature in your body and soul don't want you to do good. Yeah, don't want you to do good. So make up your mind to fight your way through and do what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be putting blame on someone else for your own mistakes or inconsistencies. Don't blame others for what you know is your own mistakes and errors. Don't blame others for it. Take responsibility of your mistakes and disobedience and errors, and amend your ways. Yeah, rebook yourself. Discipline yourself. Correct yourself. And do what is right in the sight of God. In so doing, you will move forward in life very fast. Yeah. Not that you start blaming someone, it's because of this one, it's because of that one, it's because yesterday my emotions was bad. yesterday's that person offended me. So if not for that person, I would have done what I wanted to do. I mean, I would have done what God wants me to do. Don't blame anything or anyone or any situation or circumstance for your errors and mistakes and disobedience. Take full responsibility of your errors. In so doing, you will receive grace. You will find grace to overcome that nature in you that is making you not to do what is right in the sight of God. Before I move to the next point, some years back we used to have Christians that would go into fastings because they want to overcome the sinful nature. Not because they needed promotion in the place of work, not because they needed prosperity, breakthroughs. What else do people need? I mean, physical things people need. Marriage. And you know many of those things people usually pray seriously for. But we have seen brethren who go into fastings because they do not want to be proud anymore. Just because they notice that they are getting proud. And they went into fastings, not just few days fastings, many days fastings. And they are telling God, and they are saying, God, destroy this pride that is in me. I want to be humble. And some of them were saying, God, destroy this hunger in me. I want to be meek. Because the opposite of hunger is meekness. I mean, being hungry or getting angry. The opposite is meekness. To be meek means that you don't retaliate. You don't take revenge. To be meek means that someone hurts you so deeply, so strongly, and yet you're just smiling and you're even praying for the person. That is what it means to be meek. So we have Christians, or maybe I should say we have seen Christians in those days, I mean a few years ago, who we go into many days fasting, asking God to destroy the sinful nature that is in them. And they will not stop the fasting until they have seen that nature die. We have some Christians who notice that they hardly forgive and forget when people offend them. And they began to fast and say, God, I want this nature to die. I want to be able to forgive. And God answered their prayers. And many of them, they are great people today because they were able to overcome the strongest darkness of all, which is the sinful nature. The sinful nature, the nature of sin in our bodies and souls is the strongest darkness of all darkness. And if you can defeat it, you will go far in life and destiny. So let us move to the next point, which is the last point in this part two. You know, the part two says understanding the negative influence of your soul. Okay, the negative influence your soul and body have on your spirit. That's the part two. So this next point is the last point then we'll move to part three. Now, the next point is releasing your spirit to rule over your soul and body means releasing your destiny to manifestation. Yeah, releasing your spirit to rule over your soul and body means releasing your destiny to manifestation. Another way of saying this is allowing the Holy Spirit control your life means releasing your destiny to manifestation. Another way of saying it is yielding to the Holy Spirit, because that is how your spirit man begins to rule your body and soul, when you yield to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit only have business with your spirit man when it comes to controlling your life. The Holy Spirit identifies you as a spirit. So that is why the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit to rule. Of course, the Holy Spirit also dwells in your body and soul. But when the Holy Spirit is ruling, He rules from your spirit man. Yeah, the Holy Spirit rules your life, controls your life from your spirit man. So yeah, and that is the reason why you might never be able to know the will of God until your spirit man is alive. Yeah, you can't know the will of God in your body and soul. You can only feel the move. You can feel the anointing. Yeah, but you might not be able to know exactly where God is leading you, what God is saying. Yeah, you can feel fire in your body. You can literally feel fire in your soul, fire in your body. But you can't actually get directions in your body and soul, because that is not where the Spirit is ruling your life from. Yeah. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit, soul, and body. But He rules your life from your spirit. He controls your decisions from your spirit. Yeah, because God identifies with your spirit. Yeah, because God sees you as a spirit. Yeah. So, if your spirit will be released to function, then you would have surrendered to the Holy Spirit. It is as you yield to the Spirit of God that your spirit also will be released to manifestation. I don't know if you are getting the point. It is as you yield to the Holy Spirit, as you obey the Holy Spirit, as you surrender to the Holy Spirit, that is when your spirit man will be released from the captivity of your body and soul, or from the captivity of your sinful nature. Because by default, from the day you were born into this world, your spirit has been captured by your sinful nature, which is the nature in your body and soul. Yeah, but it is as you yield to the Holy Spirit that your spirit man will be released to manifest. Yeah, now, what I'm saying now is that this yielding to the Holy Spirit, this releasing of your spirit to manifest, also means you are releasing your destiny to manifest. Yeah. You are releasing your destiny to manifest as you release your spirit. Yeah, as you release your spirit to function, you are also releasing your destiny to manifest. Now, you might want to ask that, what is the connection? How does releasing my spirit man to function means releasing my destiny to manifestation? You need to understand that your spirit is the one that carries the blueprints of your destiny. Your spirit is the one that carries the details of your destiny. Your spirit is the one that carries the master plans or the architecture or the framework of your destiny. Yeah, it is your spirit that carries it. So, your body and mind is just the container that will help your spirit fulfill your destiny, because your spirit is the one that will fulfill it. So your body is just the vessel or the instrument, yeah, that will be used to fulfill it. And of course, I've said earlier that your soul is a product of the reaction between your spirit and body. You know, remember that in Genesis, God said, the Bible said that God breathed into the nostril of the form God made from the dust of the ground. God made a form or an image from the dust of the ground. Yeah, and after God have molded that thing, he breathed into it, and immediately man became a living soul. Yeah, so your soul is just what is created, or maybe I should use the word, the end product of the reaction between your spirit and body. When your spirit came out of God and entered into the body God molded with the dust of the ground, that chemical reaction, if I can do, I know it's not chemical, but I'm just looking for a word that I can use that will make you understand. It's just like in chemistry, they told us that acid, when you combine acid and base, there will be a reaction. When you combine acid and base, it will produce salt and water. Yeah, so when your spirit coming from God, Yeah. When your spirit coming from God entered into your body that was molded with the dust of the ground, there was a reaction. Yeah. And that reaction made the soul to appear. Yeah. So we can say that your soul is the one that is channeling or binding your spirit and body together. Yeah, or your soul is that platform through which you are able to make your body do, or maybe I should say, your soul is the platform through which your spirit makes your body do what it should do. So it's like a control center. Yeah, that's what your soul is. That and I said earlier that that is the place where you make decisions and choices. Yeah. So there is not much difference between your soul and spirit. Yeah, it is just that the soul gives more room for corruption. Yeah, because the soul now makes you a free will person. The fact that your soul makes you a free will person. So now you have a choice to do what is right or not. So your soul makes that possible. Otherwise, when you were inside of God, you don't have issues with doing what is right, or you are just always right. Yeah, when man was inside of God, because before God breathed us out, yeah, because we were inside of God before God breathed into that form, he molded. With dust, we were all inside of God. Yeah. So when we're inside of God, we have no issue with making choices. Yeah. So everything was just right. All of us were just right and righteous by nature. Yeah. But the moment God breathed into that dust of the ground, and then man became a living soul. So that moment now we became prone to be tempted. We became a free will being. So it is the soul that makes us have free will. Yeah, it is the soul that makes us that gives us the power to choose whether we would do something or not do it. Yeah. So the soul is the platform through which your spirit make decisions, choices, and control your body to do, or control your mind and body to do what you want to do. So that is the soul. Now, coming back to our point, I said releasing your spirit man to function means releasing your destiny to manifestation. So your spirit man who has been in God for billions of years, as I've said when we started these teachings, for those of you who can still remember, I said that your spirit man has been in God for a long time. All of us here, our spirits have been in God for billions of years. Before God created Adam and breathed the breath of life into Adam. Yeah. So the moment Adam became a living soul, all of us, as we are talking now, we were inside of Adam. That moment that Adam became a living soul in the Garden of Eden, Every one of us, the generation of human beings, were inside of Adam. Yeah, we were all inside of Adam. So, and that was why the sin Adam committed affected all of us. Because all of us were inside of Adam. You know, even the wife, Eve, was taken out of Adam. Yeah, so all of us were inside of Adam. Yeah, so but before we were, God breathed us before we followed God's breath inside and entered inside Adam, we have been in God for billions of years, and God already perfected our destinies. So which means that even before the foundations of the earth were laid, God already created your destiny. You were already in God, and your destiny has been created. The purpose for your existence had existed. Yeah. Even before the earth were created, God has given you a destiny. So, and that means your spirit is the one that knows that destiny. I hope you are getting my point. I hope I'm not confusing you. So your spirit is the one that knows your destiny. Yeah, because your spirit had been before the world was. Before the earth was, your spirit had been inside of God. I believe you understand to that point. Yeah. So now, if the part, that part of you that has the full knowledge and the full understanding of your destiny, which is your spirit, is not allowed to function, that means there's no way you can fulfill destiny. If the part of you that knows your destiny, that knows why you exist, that knows why you were born in the country you were born in, that knows why you were born to the parents you were born to, if that part of you is not being released to manifest, then it means you can never fulfill destiny. I believe you understand to this point. So now, let us read John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 14. John chapter 1 verse 14. It says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word was made flesh. That is my point. The word. I mean, that's the point I needed in that verse. The word was made flesh. The word was made flesh. Now, the writer of that passage was referring to Jesus as the word. And the writer said that Jesus was made flesh and he dwells, he lived among us. Yeah. Jesus was made flesh. So the word who was spirit was made flesh for a purpose. Yeah, Jesus became a man for a purpose. Even though he was not a man, his original personality was not a man. I believe you know that. Jesus was not a man. So Jesus being a man was a destiny. He became a man to fulfill a destiny. Before then, he was not a man. So he was the Word. Yeah. So the same applies to us. Yeah. We are flesh and blood today, right now, for a purpose. Yeah. To fulfill the destiny that was given to us when we were in God, before we were born. Which means that every part of you should be fulfilling that destiny. Your appearance, your physical appearance, your body, your mind, your soul should be fulfilling the destiny that is inside your spirit. Yeah, so you were given a life in this world. You were given a life in your body. I mean, you were made to live in your body because there is a destiny in your spirit to be fulfilled. Yeah, I believe you understand that. Yeah. So, and you must fulfill that destiny. You must fulfill that destiny. Failure to fulfill that destiny is an offense. Especially if you were given chances to discover the destiny, and yet you fail to seek God to discover it. Yeah, because some people will say, I don't know my destiny. I don't know what God has created me to do. Yeah, so if I don't do anything about it, I've not sinned. Yeah, but what about the fact that you know how to find your destiny? You know how to seek God and find what is it he has destined you to do on earth or be on earth. And yet you failed to seek God. You failed to draw closer to God. You failed to know God closely, because it is as you know God closely that you begin to understand your destiny. So the things God has already make available for you, to know your destiny, are already here on earth. Yeah. So failure to make use of those things is a sin. Yeah. The Holy Spirit has been given to you. The Bible has been given to you. Pastors have been given to you. Leaders, church leaders have been given to you. Even me, your teacher, God has given me to you so that you might be able to learn how to seek Him and discover your destiny. Yeah, so a lot have been given to you already that will enable you to discover why you are here, why you were born. So failure to make use of these chances and opportunities to discover your destiny is a sin. And not only that, after you have discovered your destiny, failure to fulfill it It's also a great offense. So there are people who will not enter heaven because they knew their destiny. Or what some people call purpose. Divine purpose. They knew their divine purpose. And yet they failed to fulfill it. So many people, that is what we take them to hell. Yeah. So we must fulfill our destinies. Yeah. So let's look at another scriptures. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 29 and 55. John chapter 8, 29. Yeah, let me read 29 first. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And then verse 55. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. For if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto him. But I know him, and keep his saying. Yeah, this is Jesus speaking. Firstly, he said that his Father is with him. He said, the one that sent him is with him. And he also said that he always do those things that please him. Yeah. So every human that comes from God, when I mean comes from God, I mean they are from Adam lineage, because there are some other humans in quotes that are not from God. They come from another realm. Yeah, but that one is another. I don't want to confuse you. That one is by. Let us put that one aside. But my point is, every human that comes from the lineage of Adam, they are like being sent into the world. They should see themselves as being sent into the world. Every person that is born into this world should see themselves as being sent into the world to fulfill an assignment. So, which means that every human creature is apostolic by nature. Yeah. There's another place in the Bible where it says that children are the heritage of the Lord. That as arrow is in the hands of the mighty, so are they. Yeah. In another place, it says that children are like arrows in God's quiver. You know, the quiver there, you know what quiver is. The quiver is that part that hackers, people that are skilled in shooting arrows and not missing the target. The quiver is that part that they used to put on their back, and they put inside that quiver are many arrows. So it is from the quiver they will pick the arrow and shoot. So the Bible says that children are like arrows in God's quiver. So which means that children are being sent into the world for a purpose. Yeah. So whenever you're able to know the purpose wherewith you are sent, or you were sent into the world, you will be able to know how to get God's attention. Yeah, if you can find the purpose why God sent you into this world, you can be able to stand on that purpose and get God's attention. Yeah, you can be able to talk to God and He will answer you. You can be able to ask for anything and God will release it. Yeah, because you are telling God that, God, I am not wasting my life. I am identifying with the purpose of my creation. So, and I want to fulfill that purpose. So whenever you go to God, mention it to God that He should do certain things for you because of the reason why He sent you into this world. Be rest assured that God will respond very fast. And His angels will respond very fast. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, God will always be with you as long as you are busy with that purpose, with that, you know, with fulfilling your purpose and destiny. God will always be with you. You know, just as Jesus said that the one that sent Him is with Him. Yeah, so if we remain in the purpose of the purpose for our existence on earth, and we are busy with that purpose, it is certain that heaven will be so close to us, and the power of God will be so close to us, because God is also busy to see that purpose come to pass. I don't know if you get my point. Yeah, but you might not be able to know your destiny and purpose if you are not close to God. Because in that verse 55, John chapter 8, verse 55, Jesus was confident. And He said, yet ye have not known Him, but I know Him. And if I should say I know Him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know Him, and keep His saying. So Jesus was telling them that, the one that sent me, I know Him. And everything I'm doing here is what He tells me to do. Yeah, so if I say I don't know Him, I'll be a liar. Yeah, so you'll be very confident when you know Him. And knowing Him also means knowing your destiny. Yeah, and you'll be able to stand before anyone. You'll be able to stand anywhere, even before those people that despise you. Even before those people that don't believe in your destiny or calling, you'll be able to stand before them because you know Him and you know why you are here. Yeah. I hope you understand. Yeah. For instance, there are some things that no one in this world can change my mind about. Why? Because I know that those things are my destiny. Those things are why I am here. Yeah. Yeah. So when you know why you are here, you'll be confident anyway. May the Lord reveal to you the details of your destiny in Jesus' name. So now, the last scripture I'm going to read before we round off the teaching is a common scripture, and many of you know it. It's in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Yeah, this is God speaking. God said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God already knew Jeremiah before he was formed in his mother's womb. Yeah, and God already knew him to be a prophet to the nations. God already called him. He already ordained him. He already set him apart. That's the meaning of the word sanctifying. God already set him apart that this one shall be a prophet unto the nations. Yeah. So I believe this word is true to everyone. Yeah. Though everyone is not going to be a prophet unto the nations like Jeremiah, but everyone has been sanctified for a purpose. Consecrated, set apart for a purpose. Yeah, but we must yield to the Spirit to know these things. Yeah, we must yield to the Holy Spirit. We must listen to the Holy Spirit to know these things. Yeah, and during the last class, I gave you some hints about awakening the senses of your spirit. Yeah, I said it will naturally happen. The senses of your spirit will naturally come alive as you begin to fight and overcome the senses of your flesh or the senses of your body. Yeah, because the senses of your body and soul are naturally opposite the senses of your spirit. So as you begin to enforce the word of God over your life, and begin to do against your sense knowledge, against what the senses of your body and soul is telling you to do, the nature of the sinful nature in you, as you begin to do contrary to that nature, the senses and nature of your spirit begin to get stronger in you. Yeah. So it's so practical. And gradually you begin to learn to yield to the Spirit. Yeah, gradually you begin to learn to yield to the Spirit. So it's a journey of faith and war. You believe the word of God and then you fight that part of you that don't want to do the word of God. So as you make war against that part of you that is not yielding to the word of God, then naturally your spirit man begins to grow. Naturally. And your spirit man begins to know God. And then your spirit man begins to yield to the Spirit of God. And in the process, you begin to find your destiny. I'm going to stop here. Of course, there are still more about destiny. But since the teaching is not really centered on destiny or knowing your destiny or fulfilling your destiny. So that is why I'm not talking much on that. Yeah, the teaching is about becoming that person that can know your destiny, having a discerning spirit. That's what the teaching is about. Building up a strong discerning spirit that is able to know even the details of your destiny. Yeah, so, but if you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your light that is shining on our hearts, teaching us your ways, revealing to us your mind. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, I thank you for these things you have made us to learn and understand during the course of this teaching. Thank you for making us to see how our destiny is inside of us, how the details of our destiny is within our spirit. Lord, I ask that you help as many who have heard this teaching to begin to do those things that will release their destinies to manifestation. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that every carnal lifestyle you have embraced that is not allowing you to discover why God gave you the life you are living on earth at the moment and what you should do with that life, I pray that the Lord put an end to such kind of lifestyle in your life. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will begin to surrender to the move and leadings and direction of the Holy Spirit in every day of your life. In the name of Jesus, every instruction coming from the Spirit that you have been ignoring, I pray that you receive grace now to ignore no more. In the name of Jesus, receive grace to now begin to obey every instruction and voice from the Spirit, every instruction and leadings from the Spirit. Receive grace to begin to obey and do them henceforth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.
Goodbye.